The history of math is our intellectual foundation to understanding science. Science, beautiful, awesome, wonderful science. It's the creative foundation to our ineffable future. Hi, I'm Gabrielle Burchak, and this is my podcast, Math, Science, History. In the year 415, the infamous philosopher and mathematician Hypatia of Alexandria, Egypt, was savagely murdered by church monks. This murder shocked the Roman community and its government leaders. Hypatia was known far and wide as a respected philosopher, mathematician, government advisor, and a professor. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, is a book that I wrote that looks not just at the circumstances surrounding her death, but also at the sum of her entire life. I weave in the details of her education, disciples, Neoplatonic philosophies, female contemporaries, and the many mathematics that she wrote and taught about. There is truly more to Hypatia's life than her death. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, written by me, Gabrielle Burchak, is now on sale on Amazon. Buy your copy today. On March 17th of this year, the American Red Cross announced on their website that the United States is going to face a severe blood shortage as we continue to struggle under the coronavirus outbreak. The reason why is because the Red Cross is experiencing blood drive cancellations, and the cancellations make sense. Workplaces and campuses and schools don't want people gathering to donate blood. However, all the cancellations have led to a drop in blood donations. The number, to be exact, is 86,000 donations. The Red Cross is implementing steps to ensure the safety and well-being of all those who donate blood. They are now checking the temperatures of staff and donors. They provide hand sanitizer. They are spacing the beds apart, and they're constantly disinfecting the equipment, and that's good. These recent developments in blood drives is, as a result, loosening the restrictions for gay blood donors. And it's a shame that we have come to even loosening restrictions, as restrictions didn't even need to be in place. Before anybody donates blood, they are generally screened for infectious diseases, including HIV. HIV shows up in the blood normally 9 days after someone's been infected with it, and that goes for all people. As a result, LGBTQ communities are saying that the wait time is completely unnecessary, and they are correct. Healthy blood is healthy blood. And though our blood is not all the same, it is all important. What makes it important is the plasma that is in our blood. The segregation of blood, specifically blood plasma, is exactly why in 1942, Dr. Charles R. Drew, one of the original developers in banking blood, resigned from his position as appointed director for the first American Red Cross blood bank that was in charge of blood for use by the Navy and the Army. Dr. Charles R. Drew was a brilliant African-American physician and a pioneer in blood preservation. He was born on June 3, 1904 in Washington, D.C. Growing up, he was an athlete involved in all kinds of sports in high school. He swam, he played football, basketball, and other sports. And as a result, he was able to earn a sports scholarship to Amherst College, where he continued to play in sports, ultimately earning the Mossman Trophy. When he graduated college, he wanted to go to medical school, but he didn't have the money. So he worked as a biology instructor and coach for Morgan College in Baltimore. Finally, in 1928, when he applied to medical school at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, he was accepted. While at McGill, he became an Alpha Omega Alpha scholar and earned one of the J. Francis Williams Fellowships. Also, while at McGill, he had developed a really strong interest in transfusion and transfusion therapy. After graduating and receiving his medical degree, he worked as a faculty instructor and worked in pathology at Howard University. In 1938, he was awarded a 2-year Rockefeller Fellowship in surgery, where he began his postgraduate work. And his research included diagnosing and controlling shock through fluid balance, blood chemistry, preservation, and transfusion. Because of Dr. Drew, we now have blood banks. His doctoral thesis was titled Banked Blood, a Study in Blood Preservation. His work and research made him an expert in this field. Dr. Drew had discovered a method for long-term storage storage of blood plasma. Plasma is a clear yellow liquid that contains proteins. It also contains electrolytes that help to carry blood cells through the body. What's interesting about plasma is that it can also be used as a blood substitute to replace fluids. And what Dr. Drew had discovered is that plasma can last longer than a whole container of blood without refrigeration. If the container that it sits in is disturbed, it won't deteriorate the structure of the plasma. Plasma can also be used with any blood type. It doesn't transmit diseases. It can be injected into the veins, the muscles, the skin in large doses. It's ideal for emergency situations. As a result, Dr. Drew's findings were essential and key to saving lives. During World War II, blood was desperately needed. In Britain, Dr. John Scudder developed a program called Plasma for Britain, and he recruited Dr. Drew to serve as the medical doctor of the United States Blood for Britain program. Dr. Drew was in charge of creating a process for blood storage and preservation. Basically, what he needed to do was collect and test and transport large quantities of blood plasma to distribute throughout the United Kingdom. So, he came up with this idea to open blood banks and store the blood in blood mobiles, which allowed for refrigerated blood storage, preservation, and transportation. It was brilliant. Dr. Drew had a central location where people could go and give blood. He hired skilled doctors and nurses to work with the blood plasma, and then he tested the blood plasma before it was shipped out. As a result of his efforts, after 5 months, almost 15,000 people had donated blood, and they gathered over 5,500 vials of blood plasma. And as a result of his successful efforts, he was appointed as the director of the first American Red Cross Blood Bank. As an African American, he grew frustrated with the legalities of the U.S. Army and Navy. You see, authorities were restricting African Americans from donating blood. Dr. Drew never stopped fighting for this cause. And finally, the Navy and the Army started to accept the blood of African Americans for the plasma supply networks. However, though this was a promising step for the medical industry, the armed forces ruled in 1942 that blood of African Americans would have to be stored separately from that of whites. Dr. Drew had argued and advocated for the desegregation of blood because this plasma was an essential human need. He knew that lives were at stake, and segregation only hindered the advancement of science. Yet the Navy and the Army still could not get past their biases. That was when Dr. Drew resigned from his post. His actions were completely justified. Sadly, the Navy and the Army lost out on working with one of the greatest medical scientists in the United States, and sadly, the Navy and the Army continued to segregate blood. Some centers even refused donors because donors were black. The segregation continued until 1950, except for in Louisiana. They finally banned the segregation of blood in 1972. Dr. Drew was a commendable surgeon. After his resignation, he went on to work as a surgeon at Freedman's Hospital and as a professor of medicine at Howard University between 1942 and 1950. In 1944, the NAACP awarded Dr. Drew with the Spingarn Medal for his work with the British and American blood banking projects. Then, in 1945, Virginia State College presented him with an honorary doctorate of science. And in 1947, Amherst, his alma mater, presented him with another honorary doctorate in science. On April 1, 1950, 70 years ago, while driving with three of his colleagues to an annual meeting of the John A. Andrews Association in Tuskegee, Alabama, his vehicle hit the soft shoulder of the road and his car overturned. His passengers survived. However, Dr. Drew did not. Just to clarify, there's a story that he passed away because he could not get a blood transfusion because he was black. This is a false story. Sadly, he passed away due to critical injuries and extensive loss of blood. But even after his passing, his name lived on. His home was designated as a National Historical Landmark. He was honored by the United States Postal Service. Schools have been named after him. A United States Navy ship has been named after him. And in 2002, he was listed as one of the 100 greatest African Americans. His work was extensive. Most importantly, his work was meaningful. He saved lives and worked to end segregation in science. In his lifetime, he stood at the intersection between race and blood and reasoned for the simple need of saving lives. It's fascinating how human bias and prejudice can really hinder the development of science and hurt a society, especially in these times. I didn't want to talk about a pandemic during my podcast, but we're in the middle of one, and the subject is unavoidable. The current state of the world is not good. People are dying, and these people are all around the world. People are losing their grandparents and their parents and their children, and it doesn't matter what their skin color is or what their racial background is, they're losing their loved ones. And in the middle of this pandemic, Asian communities are living with unnecessary vitriol during a time when, as humans, we should be banding together and helping people as much as possible. You would think that during a pandemic, people would come to understand that the most non-essential emotion and belief system within a human is prejudice. It is my hope, during this incredibly challenging time, that all humans can finally come to understand that the two most essential emotions and belief systems that we can hold within our hearts is tolerance and human compassion. I'm Gabrielle Burchak. This podcast has been brought to you by Caffeine, delicious, wonderful nectar of the gods, caffeine, coffee, tea, coffee, candy, you name it. I love it. Thank you for listening to Math Science History. If you like what you are listening to, please remember to subscribe and leave a review. I would really appreciate that. If you are interested in reading more about the history of math and science, please come visit me at mathsciencehistory.com. And while you are there, if you like what you're listening to, please feel free to click on that coffee button and buy me a cup of coffee. Until next week, carpe diem.